Many places in our region just inspire awe with their natural beauty. Lake of the Woods and the Cascades between Medford and Klamath Falls is certainly among them. It's a pretty lake with a gorgeous view of Mount McLaughlin and summer homes sprinkled through the trees, and a summer camp that is quiet now. Camp Low Echo reverberated with the voices of Girl Scouts for generations. Those days are past, but the camp does have a future. It will be revived and handed over to the Ashland Family YMCA. It's a maneuver that involves a couple of entities, including the Sid and Karen DeBoer Foundation, for which we join Karen DeBoer here on the Jefferson Exchange. Karen, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We also have with us from the Ashland Family YMCA, Lisa Molnar, who's the Executive Director and CEO. Lisa, welcome to the Exchange.
Hi, thank you.
And Tai Hisatomi is with us as well. He's the Development and Special Projects Director at the Ashland Family YMCA. Welcome to you, Tai.
Thanks for inviting us over.
So, Karen, tell us a little bit of how this whole process got started from your end, because you're rather the initiator here, or you and your husband anyway. Oh, don't have a voice. Okay, Karen's having some issues with breathing today, so let's have Lisa take it over.
Okay. Well, I believe that the DeBoers over the years have had the pleasure of knowing lots of families and friends and generations of kids that have gone to the camp when it was a Girl Scout camp over the years. And as it fell into disrepair and eventually was closed, it sat dormant for a number of years now. And so the DeBoers wanted to see kids and really people of all ages get the amazing experience of being at camp to continue in our valley. And so we at the Y have had the tremendous fortune of being gifted the camp along with some funds to begin renovations and rebuilding, really, of the camp for future generations.
I understand it. It was 7 decades or so that Camp Low Echo was open, so with lots of people who, I mean, it might have even gotten to the point where you had women going to the camp who then saw their children and their grandchildren go to the same camp as well.
Yes, I've had kids at the Y that have heard that the Y is going to be now owning that camp and have said that their grandmother worked as a camp cook or their dad was a caretaker. So I believe that really generations. I think that the camp first opened in the 40s, in 1946.
And so the Girl Scouts owned it and let it go, though, I understand, because it was just a case of they realized they had too much property they owned.
Well, I think in these days of just where a lot of organizations are looking at consolidating resources, they own a number of camps throughout the state and made a decision that it was really going to just be such a big expense here in Southern Oregon to revitalize that camp, and they own several other camps on the coast and up, I believe, outside of the Portland area.
So, Tai Hisatomi, as the development director, I'm sure that you know you're always looking for ways to bring in some income to the Ashland Family YMCA, but it's not every day somebody says, "How would you like a camp?" Right?
That's right, and I think it starts off with really the generous donation that Sid and Karen DeBoer left for our Y, and also Jed and Celia Meese, supporters of our Y, have also done a lot for our organization. They stepped forward and really put down the seed money in the foundation to actually make this a reality for our YMCA and for our community. So with that, we feel that in some respects, when you're trying to build a project in a camp, a capital project of this nature, it's that first individuals that really see the dream and what can happen in the future. It really takes that individual or individuals to make that effort to pretty much inspire others. And we're hoping that through the generosity of the DeBoers and the Meeses that other people will so far also become inspired to be a part of it. And we also feel that this is something that relies on the history of many kids who are now adults now. And I think people recognize how important that is, that since that whole camping experience was a part of their lives and how that really formed their lives, the values and the friendships, everything that happens at camp, I think they're going to want to see that continue.
When Camp Low Echo was open as a Girl Scout camp, was it a place they would go to for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, the whole summer? Do we know what the Karen, can you come in on that one?
About 1 week.
About 1 week, okay.
Yeah.
So
and
the
rotate all the time.
So the turnover would have been something else.
Yeah.
Week after week after week, you get kids coming through the camp. So I could just imagine there are thousands of people with memories of Camp Low Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. And actually, we had a wonderful closing ceremony for Camp Lo Echo a couple of years ago. And it was really inspiring to see, as you mentioned, how some of the kids are now adults. And they all came for the closing of ceremonies. We had Girl Scout cookies. It was just really a wonderful experience just to say goodbye and kind of a renewal and rebirth of what will happen there in the future.
So the handoff was assured before the place even closed as a Girl Scout camp. Is that right, Lisa?
No, the Girl Scout camp was closed, mm-hmm. And it had been closed for a couple of years. And when the DeBoers first purchased the camp, I think it was decided to do sort of a closing ceremony. And so we invited, Girl Scout troops from around the area and people that had memories to come up and kind of say a farewell. And meanwhile, we've been in the sort of background process of beginning to get our fundraising efforts on track, as well as going through the steps with the Forest Service.
All right, that's one of the things that makes this a little tricky. Ty, why don't you explain the process? Because you got the Forest Service actually owns the land under these properties, but then everything from soil up is owned by the
yes,
people.
And public land, again, it's on Forest Service land. So really, the ownership of the land and the property itself falls under the auspices of the Forest Service as managing public lands for the citizens of our country, of course. And but for us to really rebuild the camp as it is now, we have to go through a process known as the NEPA process, which is the National Environmental Protection Act, which basically
it's the whole EA,
environmental assessment. Yes, and so anytime, even though it has been a camp for well over 60, 70 years, there's still we're going to be rebuilding on this, and so there has to be an assessment of any significant impact on that location. And so we're in the process now working with the Fremont Wainema Forest Service to do that environmental assessment to assure that our proposed action of building a new lodge and cabins and other structures will not have a significant impact on that particular location.
We're talking about Camp Lo Echo, which is on Lake of the Woods, which is just over the Klamath County line from Jackson County in the Oregon Cascades. Was a Girl Scout camp, will become property of the Ashland Family YMCA, well, as we define property within Forest Service boundaries. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. If you have some memories of Camp Lo Echo from your years with the Girl Scouts, feel free to join in and let us hear about those. Ask some questions about this whole process at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I know that the environmental assessment has to be done when there's a finding of no significant impact, which people who know the terminology love to call FONSI.
FONSI.
But if you do find a significant impact, then you got to do the whole environmental impact statement, don't you?
Yes.
The full-blown thing?
Yes, and the EA will assess whether or not there is a finding of no significant impact, or the acronym FONSI, or if there is some note that does require a full environmental impact statement. And, of course, understanding that it has been an existing camp, and even though we are making some changes, it's really pretty much putting in structures that have already been there in place. And so we're hoping that that the Forest Service will find that there will be no significant impact from the past.
Lisa Molnar, tell us about the process of this being broached. I mean, how did the DeBoers bring the subject to you and the Ashland Family YMCA?
Well, I would say that the board of directors was hesitant or cautious at first. Just camps are notorious for being very difficult to run in the black. And so they wanted to be very, very careful. And we one of the things we talked about was starting the camp process off with an endowment as part of our capital project. And so that's where Celia and Jed Meese stepped up and made a very generous donation, or a pledge for a donation to our endowment fund for the camp. So we will have $2 million in endowment for the camp, for permanent to help with maintenance and some ongoing costs. So that's going to really help. And then the board, really, as the process evolved, is really thrilled and excited about just the more we realized how this would really help us meet our mission at the Y, and just improving the lives of kids and families and people of all ages, and providing those tremendous camp experiences. I think it was, you know, it was unanimous that this was the direction that we wanted to go. We're looking at about an $8.5 million project. We're a little over half the way there right now. I think we actually have about $3.5 million left to raise, and we just recently learned that we had been awarded $150,000 from the Oregon Community Foundation, and so we're thrilled to have foundations beginning to offer their support, and we're hoping now the rest of the community will step up as well. And we really believe that it's such an inspiring project that people are going to really want to get on board.
Okay, we're going to get swamped with family names here, because we already have the Sid and Karen DeBoer Foundation. We're talking about Jed and Celia Meese. It's the William and Florence Schneider Fund of the Oregon Community Foundation that's providing the $150,000.
Right. And they were longtime Ashlanders as well. Mm-hmm. And so the Oregon Community Foundation, which is really just a tremendous community foundation that a lot of people have funds in and can direct those funds. And so Sid and Karen, I believe, have funds in that foundation. And so their initial contribution is also out of the Oregon Community Foundation.
And there's actually a presentation I see later today.
There is at 4 o'clock.
Accept that grant?
Right.
And these other names that keep coming through, anytime we have programs here that deal with something coming on the SOU campus, they're often done in either the Meese Auditorium or the Meese Room. So now you know Jed and Celia Meese are the Meese behind that part.
Yes, and they've been amazing supporters of the Y for decades now. Ever since I first started at the Y 28 years ago, Jed and Celia have been, you know, really wonderful donors and just supporters of the Y and the mission, along with, of course, Sid and Karen DeBoer and many, many other people.
I can see the concern from the Ashland family YMCA when you're thinking about, okay, how are we going to run this and not drain our resources away? But $8.5 million—that's a lot of money. What's the expense in rehabbing Camp Low Echo into what you want it for now?
Well, I think that both Lisa and I started our YMCA careers in camping, and as YMCA really is not new to camping. The YMCA as a movement basically established the first resident camp in 1885 in Camp Dudley in Westport, New York. But with that whole idea of moving forward, and your question again was?
Was why does it cost so much? $8.5 million.
Well, I think the whole idea about the cost is that, as I was saying, I certainly in our careers, we've been at many camps, and we've kind of maybe been a little critical of how they were built. Mm-hmm. And fortunately or unfortunately, camps for nonprofit groups rely a lot of volunteers. And sometimes, as in that movement, you just do what you can with the money you have.
And carpenters you have available, too.
Yeah, and we have a situation now where we have the ability and we think the support to build something right. And as far as build it, certainly money is going to be an issue, but we have the ability to really design and put together a program and a plan to make sure that the camp works. And certainly, as Lisa mentioned, camp is never intended to, go in the black or make a lot of money. We don't want it. We understand that it's going to be a break even at best, but those experiences that we provide for kids is really what we're trying to achieve. And so we're hoping that we can do all that.
Since it was a youth camp, but now it could be for people of all ages, I imagine there's going to be quite a bit of difference in how the buildings are arranged. And how many buildings are we talking about? And how many people could sleep there back in the day?
Well, I'm not sure what the capacity was back in the day. I think it was maybe around 100 or 120, and we're going to be looking at capacity of closer to 150 to 200 per week. We're looking at a lodge, a brand new lodge. The lodge there is literally falling down. It's crumbling. It's held up on rocks. and anyway, so the lodge needs to be completely rebuilt. And then we'll be putting in new cabins. And one of the things, the trends that we've seen that is causing, I believe, a little additional cost, but is going to make it so the cabins are really well suited for all ages, are having bathrooms inside each cabin so that you're not sending 5 or 6 year olds out into the woods in the middle of the night to either an outhouse or a bathhouse. And that's one of the trends for safety that we're seeing. That also, needless to say, really helps make the facility attractive for older adults and families. And so having bathrooms in each cabin, we felt, was a real important way to go. So we still will have bathhouses with showers, but we will also have bathrooms in each cabin. There'll be a campfire circle, a new boat dock and waterfront area. We're hoping to have a science center or little science nature lab.
The boardwalk.
Right.
Which will be a great learning experience. And then one of the major costs also is that we hope to keep it open all winter.
Really?
Yeah.
So it'll be a year-round thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, another thing that is probably not as glorious or whatever is really the infrastructure, and taking in mind that this camp is really 60, 70 years old, we're going to totally redo the infrastructure as far as the plumbing and the septic system and the electricity. So that all has to be done. So really what's kind of beneath the ground and to set up for this new facility is really a part of this whole thing. But fortunately or unfortunately, people won't see that, but it's going to be there, and we need to make sure that infrastructure supports the new facility as well.
We're talking about revamping, renewal, and reuse of Camp Low Echo on Lake of the Woods, just over the Klamath County line from Jackson County in the Cascades, with Lisa Molnar and Taihi Satomi from the Ashland Family YMCA and Karen DeBoer from the Sid and Karen DeBoer Foundation. If you have some memories you'd like to share with us from your days at Camp Low Echo, if you had them, or maybe you have a different summer camp you went to and can talk about the importance it had in your life, 800-838-3760 in the minutes we have left, or jx@jeffnet.org. Do you have to have a complete set of plans tied to present to the Forest Service before they go through the NEPA process?
Well, right now there is a proposed action that's being developed with the Forest Service, and essentially that is basically what the EA is based on. So, yes, there is we have spent years developing different variations of plans that would not only plans that we can afford, but plans that will work for our camping program, as well as plans not to cause further impact on the environment as well.
Are you hearing anything in the way of potential opposition from other people who own cabins nearby, or who, they're not just cabins, they're summer homes out there, or environmental groups that might be concerned about year-round camp use at the lake? Lisa,
yeah.
We're all looking at you.
Okay. I would say we have not heard any real concerns at this point. We've mostly just heard a lot of support. I think most of the people up with cabins up at Lake of the Woods or that have memories of going there would love to see this continue as a camp and have, kids from the area and outdoor schools and other groups be able to also have the experience and use the facility. And I would be remiss if I didn't mention that, I think I said we're more than halfway to our goal of $8.5 million. We initially, Sid and Karen DeBoer and the DeBoer Foundation gave the initial gift of the camp along with $3 million towards the construction. And so that coupled with Jed and Celia Meese's contribution towards the endowment have really got us off to a good start.
in addition to all the paperwork, I mean, there were some restrictions, Ty, in construction periods, construction activities, the stuff you can use because you've got, you know, sensitive environmental areas, you got fire season concerns, things like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I think the most thing that probably the most significant issue is the building season. We understand that if we have, although we really relish and we had such a great snow year and water year this year, it created a real short window for building. And so we understand that regardless of everything, as far as the paperwork goes forward, Mother Nature needs to kind of cooperate with us as well. And so, because there is a, like I mentioned, really the summer and the shoulder season, spring and fall, that really we're going to be able to do any construction. And if it was like this year, there's a ton of snow up there, and there's no snow up there now, but it remained for quite a long time. So it's just a bit of a dance when we're working on a project like that. But like any good project, we'll just move forward on it. So
if all the ducks line up, what's the soonest that construction could start?
Well, if everything goes our way, and we're optimistic it will, we're hoping to actually have some kind of a groundbreaking possibly this fall and start construction in the spring. But that, like I said, is optimistic with if, you know, things go our way.
All right. So things will be quiet up there this year, certainly, and then next year maybe.
Yes.
Next year, noisy. Any issues for the Y for being able to staff or operate Camp Low Echo? You mentioned you want to have the endowment in place to make sure that it sounds like that's what your concern is, to make sure you got enough money in reserve to be able to keep it running.
Right. I think we don't have issues with the staffing. Of course, this will be a new venture. We do currently run, you know, hundreds and hundreds of kids a day at the Y all summer long in day camp programs. We currently do a week of resident camp where we go to Boxar Ranch. So it'll be a new thing for this Y to be staffing a resident camp for the summer and filling it with programs. But we're pretty confident that that's a great direction. And like Ty mentioned, both Ty and I have backgrounds in camping and got our start there. And I lived up at a camp, a Y camp, all summer, all my college years. And that was an amazing experience, really changed my life as well as just seeing the lives of the kids.
Camp Low Echo will reverberate with the sounds of kids once again at the shores of Lake of the Woods. Lisa Molnar is the Executive Director and CEO of the Ashland Family YMCA. Tai Hisatomi is the Development and Special Projects Director there. And Karen DeBoer from the Sid and Karen DeBoer Foundation. Thank you all for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange today.
Thank you.